Transfiguration of your beloved Son, you confirm the mysteries of the faith. By the testimony of Moses and Elijah, and the voice that came from the bright cloud, you wonderfully foreshowed our adoption by grace. Mercifully make us co-heirs with the King in his glory, and bring us to the fullness of our inheritance in heaven, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. How do we fear and love God in keeping the third commandment? We fear and love God by not despising or neglecting his word. We despise and neglect God's word by failing to gather together and worship to receive God's word and sacraments. Hebrews 10. Do not neglect to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another, all the more as you see the day drawing near. We reject or disregard God's word. Luke 10. The one who hears you hears me. And the one who rejects you rejects me. And the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. And they ask you to read 1 Samuel 15, noting that Saul rejected God's word. And then John 8, certain Jews rejected God's word. And in 1 Timothy 4, Paul tells Timothy to hold fast to Scripture's teaching. We fear and love God by taking time to reflect on his word. We do this by treasuring God's word as sacred. Psalm 119. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Colossians 3. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. We do this by devoting ourselves to his word in private devotion and public worship. Acts 2, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Acts 17, the brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea, And when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. And these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. The Old Testament reading for the Sunday of the Transfiguration is in the 34th chapter of Exodus, beginning with verse 29. Now it was so when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand. When he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that his skin of his face shone while he talked with him. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the children of Israel came near, and he gave them as commandments all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And when he would come out and speak to the children of Israel, whatever he had been commanded. And whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, then Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went to speak with him. Here endeth our Old Testament reading. We continue with our gradual printed in your bulletin. You are the most handsome of sons of men.
Grace is poured upon your lips.
The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand.
Until I make your enemies your footstool.
The epistle reading is written in St. Peter's second letter, the first chapter, beginning with verse 16. For we do not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. When he heard this voice, which came from heaven, when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Here endeth our epistle reading. Please rise for the Alleluia verse. Alleluia,
Alleluia. Sing to the Lord. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations. His marvelous works among all peoples. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel is written in the 17th chapter of St. Matthew, beginning with verse 1. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out from the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and do not be afraid. When they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Now as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. Here endeth the gospel reading. Let us confess our Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed found on page 22. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. Amen. In one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory, to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge my baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen. Be seated as we continue with our next hymn. Thank you.
Also, the transfiguration, the gospel reading, I'm also picking it from Luke 9. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep. But when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he had said. As he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him. And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent and told no one in those days anything what they had seen. The grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
Our theme is pray in faith and listen. Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. Dear saints in Christ, they went up on the mountain to pray. What does it mean to pray? To pray is simply to speak to God in faith. You can speak to God anywhere and at any time. Going up on a mountain to pray can certainly be a good idea because it gets you away from all the hubbub and all the distractions of a busy life. Jesus often went to a desolate place to pray to his Heavenly Father in peace and quiet. And mountains have a particular significance in Scripture when it comes to talking with God, because God often met his people up on mountains. In fact, the two men Jesus spoke with on this mountain, Moses and Elijah, are well known to have met God on a mountain. Moses spoke to God for 40 days on Mount Sinai. And when he had returned to speak the words of the Lord to the people of Israel, his face shone with the brightness of God's glory. Elijah met with the great power of God on Mount Carmel, where the prophets of Baal prayed all day for their false god to send fire from heaven to burn their sacrifice. And when the true God sent fire down to lap up the water and devour Elijah's sacrifice. Elijah also met the Lord up on the mountain when he was hiding from Queen Jezebel. The Lord came to him in a low whisper. And Elijah wrapped his face in his cloak to go out to talk with God. And now these two men talk to Jesus on a mountain. And it becomes clear that Jesus is not just a man who has come to talk to God, but that Jesus is God himself. Moses shone with a reflective glory which he hid behind a veil. And Elijah, in fear and trembling, covered his face to shield himself from God's glory. Nevertheless, Jesus himself shines as the source of the divine light. And the testimony of God the Father a second time confirms with these words, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. These two men who had already ascended to heaven have descended down to an earthly mountain to speak with their God, who has become man. Moses and Elijah stand with Jesus as witnesses that Jesus is the true God and Messiah. Moses is the author of the laws, the first five books of the Bible. Elijah represents the prophets. Moses and the prophets make up the Old Testament. These two prophets stand with Jesus as a testimony that all Scripture points to Jesus. It was Moses who declared that the Lord God would raise up a prophet like him from the people of Israel, to whom God would give his words, to whom the people of Israel were to listen. That prophet is Jesus, who was born of the Jews while being the Son of God himself. What did these two prophets speak to Jesus about? I mean, did Moses talk about how God used him to divide the Red Sea into two so that the people of Israel could walk across the dry ground? Did Elijah talk about how he called fire down from heaven? No. They spoke of Jesus' departure, literally his exodus. They spoke of how Jesus would be betrayed, crucified, and died for the sins of the world, and on the third day rise. This is the central teaching of the Old Testament. This is what Moses taught when he lifted up the bronze serpent in the wilderness, so that all who looked at the snake on the pole would not die from the deadly snake bites. This pointed to Jesus, who became a curse for you upon the cross. When Elijah preached that the people should turn back to the Lord God and sacrifice only to him, he was teaching that only the Lord God would provide a Savior who would sacrifice himself for the sins of the world. Moses and all the prophets speak of Jesus' departure in the Old Testament. Nevertheless, when Peter joins the conversation, he doesn't contribute very well. He is stunned by the divine glory shining forth from Jesus. He's shocked to see these two great prophets visit them from heaven. He wants to capture the moment. So he proposes to build three booths, three tents for Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. But this is a mistake. So God the Father interrupts Peter. He says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." You see, Peter wasn't listening. He wasn't paying attention to what Jesus was saying with Moses and Elijah. He was too quick to speak himself. And in his speaking, he proposed ignoring what Moses, Elijah, and Jesus were talking about. Christ's crucifixion for the sins of the world. Peter was ignoring the most important work of Jesus. And in ignoring the cross of Christ, he tries to prevent it. He tries to prevent Jesus' suffering and death by keeping Jesus' glory with them on that mountain. Nevertheless, this isn't the first or the last time Peter tries to prevent Jesus' passion for your sins. The first time was in Caesarea, shortly after Peter confesses Jesus to be the Christ. Jesus tells his disciples that he must suffer, that he must die, and on the third day rise from the dead. But Peter rebukes Jesus, and he tells him that this will never happen to him. Jesus then rebukes Peter. He calls him Satan, and he says that he is not setting his mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. The second time Peter tries to prevent Jesus' crucifixion was on this mountain of transfiguration, where he tries to keep Jesus' glory without the cross. And finally, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter cuts off the high priest's servant Malchus' ear, trying to prevent Jesus from being arrested. All three times, Peter is rebuked by God. All three times, Peter was setting his mind on the things of man and ignoring God's word. Now, I don't tell you this so that you look down on St. Peter or try to make him look like a fool. Rather, I tell you this to teach you how to pray. You see, you're all Peter. Peter kept setting his mind on the things of men, even while he was talking to God. God taught Peter and you that if you're going to talk to God, you need to listen to God. So when you treat prayer as simply an opportunity to talk to God without listening to what he has to tell you in his word, you end up acting like Peter and telling God what he should do. Your human way of thinking always ignores the cross of Jesus and tries to take away the cross that Christians must bear. Nevertheless, when you listen to Jesus' words before, during, and after you pray, you learn how and for what to ask. You learn that your greatest need is the forgiveness of sins, which Christ purchased for you with his innocent blood on the cross. You learn that his crucifixion is the greatest work God has ever done for you. You learn that through Jesus' cross, God gives you all that you need, including eternal salvation. Jesus told Peter that he was setting his mind on the things of man. This is what you do, all of you, by nature. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. You see, you are by nature born of flesh. You don't think the way God thinks unless you're born of the Spirit. This means you try to prevent the good things that God does in order to do it on your own way. You don't want to hear what God says about your sins and that they need to be atoned for by the blood of Jesus. You don't want to hear that you need to be saved from your sins. No, you want to tell God what you need. And you want to make God dwell in you on your own terms. This is what Peter did when he tried to get Jesus in all his divine glory to dwell with him in a tent upon the mountain. Nevertheless, Scripture says that Christ dwells in your hearts through faith when God grants his Holy Spirit to strengthen your inner being. And the Holy Spirit creates faith in your hearts through the words of Christ. In order to have Christ dwell with you now and forever, you need to listen to Jesus' words. And most especially, you need to focus upon his passion for your sins, how he died and rose in order to save you. Before Jesus took his disciples up on the mountain to pray, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul?" It is important also for you to hear these words of Jesus when you pray. You often pray that the crosses you bear in your life will go away. Nevertheless, sometime God wills for you to keep these crosses here on earth for the sake of your eternal salvation. When you pray to God, you must understand that his goal for you is to inherit eternal life, even if it means that you must lose your life here on this earth. When you listen to God's word and recognize what his goal is for you, then you are strengthened to bear your crosses in this life, knowing that you do not bear them alone, that you will obtain a prize in heaven only by the merits of Christ. You know, death comes to you all, both young and old, rich and poor, and no one knows when your soul will be demanded of you. But there is hope for you, that you are prepared for death, having just heard the words of Christ and having prayed to him, and there's a reminder for you. You do not know when you will die, but you do know how to be prepared by listening to the words of your Lord Jesus Christ. by receiving his true body and blood for your forgiveness, by clinging to Christ in his crucifixion and faith, your saints in Christ. Jesus' transfiguration ended, but Peter and all the disciples did see Jesus in his divine glory again after his resurrection. Nevertheless, that time there was something different. Jesus still bore the marks of the nails in his hands and feet and the spear in his side. These marks remain to teach you how you can see and share in Jesus' glory forever. Through Jesus' suffering and death upon the cross, which took away all your sins and made you right with God. So when you pray in faith for the sake of Jesus' innocent suffering and death, which you hear, and your faith tells you, you too will see this Jesus who is crucified for you. Amen.
Amen.
Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts in faith in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, in your Son, your glory tabernacled in human flesh and blood to win for us eternal life, open the eyes of all people to see your glory in the face of Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious God, with the appearance of Moses and Elijah at our Lord's glorious transfiguration, you reveal to us that the law and the prophets are fulfilled in him. Send your blessing upon pastors and servants of your church, that their preaching and teaching would flow from this right understanding of Christ and his work for our salvation. Lord, in your mercy, O Lord, lead your people in your steadfast love and guide them in strength to your holy abode. Sanctify our homes. Be the companion of those who live alone. Make our households places where your wisdom and grace are found. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God of hosts, we give thanks that in the waters of holy baptism we receive the forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. On this baptismal anniversary, bless Linda, Dylan, and Amy continually by your word and spirit, that they may faithfully keep the covenant into which they have been called, boldly confess their Savior, and finally share with all the saints the joys of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty Father, you alone establish all authority on earth. Bless those entrusted with this responsibility, both here and abroad, that they would serve with integrity and honor for the well-being of all. Grant that all division, conflict, and strife would give way to unity, peace, and quietness. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, remember the sick, the injured, and the ailing, especially Patricia, Eric, Steve, Kathy, Bob, Barb, Jerry, Patty, Julie, Marge, Wally, Roger, Sarah, Helen, Rod, Carlene, Carol, Pastor Mo, Mike, Jenna, Ruth, Tammy, Roger, Steve, Larry, Rachel, Shirley, Deanna, Robin, Brianna, Lydia, Gordon, Deb, Mary, Billy, Ted, Tony, the Langton family, the Leslie family, Grace, Belinda, and Talitha, that they would be fully restored to health according to your good and gracious will. Yet if it not be your will, give them grace to accept their affliction. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Lord, bless all who approach the holy altar to receive your Son's very body and blood this day, that they would come in repentance and faith and depart in the peace only Christ can give. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, we thank and praise you for Moses and Elijah, for Peter, James, and John, and for all your saints who gather around the glorified Lord Jesus. Keep us in the faith until such time as you call us to receive our portion with your saints in light. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, your power is beyond compare and your glory beyond understanding. Open our hearts to know you through the glory of your Son, whose saving will and purpose has rescued us from sin and death and made us your own people by baptism and faith. For to you, blessed and eternal Father, belong all honor and glory, worship and praise, with your beloved Son and the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. Amen. We continue with hymn 307.
Thank you.
and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you. Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who at his transfiguration revealed his glory to his disciples, that they might be strengthened to proclaim his cross and resurrection, and with all the faithful look forward to the glory of the life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Oh,
page 8. This is the true body of Christ. You know that that's for yourself. Page 8. Take, drink, the true blood of the risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Of this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthening and preserving the body and soul to life everlasting. The power and peace. Body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Thank you. Jerusalem. Shed for the remission of all your sins.
That of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us for the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face.
they shine upon thee, be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Thank you. Amen.